Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm back in the USA. For those of you who have been impacted by Hurricane Harvey or dealing with Hurricane Irma, you are in our prayers. If there's anything I and the Solera Report can do to help, please let us know. Please let us know how you're doing, and please let us know what you're seeing on the ground. We'll communicate it. We've been also in communication with subscribers in the West dealing with the fires, and you're in our prayers as well. The reality is we're in a period of accelerating false flags, weather warfare, and disaster capitalism. We can all expect more of these kinds of natural disasters. It's one of the reasons I live extremely modestly and am always ready to travel and travel light. Events. Nexus Conference in Aspen, September 21st to 23rd. I'm going to be speaking there. Most of the conversation is going to be about cryptocurrencies, and it's quite an extraordinary cast of characters, about 50 different speakers, some pretty interesting people. I'll be on a panel with Patrick Byrne, Ellen Brown, and Dennis Kucinich. So September 21st, 23rd in Aspen. Remember, when we did our interview on Bitcoin earlier this year, the market cap for cryptocurrencies was $35 billion. It's now approaching $200 billion, so it's exploding. I had a wonderful time in Europe. I posted a number of tweets on my Twitter feed, sort of talking about or pointing out where I was and what I was doing, if you're interested. And there's one little commentary I put up on Friesland. I was in Switzerland, Germany, Austria, Italy, Netherlands, and then Iceland. And it was an immensely productive time with some great allies and colleagues. There were lots of great things for the Solera Report percolating as a result, and you'll see the results unfolding between now and January. So I'll let the results speak for them, for themselves. But I used to have a great assistant when I worked at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, who used to look at me and say, you know, I need to go get my perspective. And there's nothing like traveling around the globe to really help you get perspective. We have incredible allies and subscribers everywhere. And I learn an immense amount from sitting down and talking with you. Theme tonight, rush hour cometh. That's an expression from one of the best sermons I ever heard on the Sunday following September 11th by a great preacher named Dr. Melvin Buford. He looked at the audience and at the congregation and just stared at them for about, 10 seconds. It felt like forever. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, rush hour cometh. And what he meant was more people, less natural resources, falling productivity, you know, and people are going to get violent about what we're going to, you know, how the pig's going to get through the snake. There are recent signs in the numbers, if you read John Williams at Shadow Stats or any sort of analysis of the recent statistics, that deflation is starting to take hold, and that means extreme measures will be taken to keep the inflation going. The U.S. dollar index has broken down under the 92 line. It was trading about 91.3. When I last checked it this evening. If it stays below that 92 line, that's a real break in the trend line. We have Rambis coming up at the end of September. It'll be very interesting to see what he says looking at the charts, but there's a very good chance we have a serious breakdown in the U.S. dollar, and that augurs for much higher prices in gold and real assets. And it's certainly, if we get a real breakdown, remember, it's going to have a very dramatic impact on the cost of everything in your household budget, particularly anything that gets imported. I said in the annual wrap-up that there was real trouble ahead. Well, it's here. The latest signal the big signal, I think, is Stanley Fischer, vice chairman of the Fed, resigned on September 6th. Ahead of the end of his term, which was June 2018, I would note that that was approximately, I believe it was the same day or very close to when CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, vampire squid enormous, said at a business conference in Frankfurt, things have been going up for too long. when yields on corporate bonds are lower than dividends on stock, that unnerves me. Anyway, so, you know, we have Goldman giving serious warning signals at the same time that Stanley Fisher is resigning. Now, let me talk a little bit about why I think Stanley Fisher is so important. Stanley Fisher was a senior executive at Citigroup, made a lot of money being a senior executive at Citigroup after he was at the World Bank and the IMF. He was then appointed governor of the Bank of Israel in 2005 with the backing of Netanyahu, and then reappointed, I think in, it was 2010, for a second term. He's a dual citizen, so he's both a U.S. citizen and an Israeli citizen. It's more of what the Cynthia McKinney has talked about the dual citizenship problem. He stepped down as the governor of the Bank of Israel midway through his second term, and then Obama turned around and nominated him as the vice chair. Now, what is the vice chair exactly? A lot of it depends on who's the chair, but you'll see when you put in someone like Yellen as the chair of the Federal Reserve, you'll often see a sort of insider put in as number two, and everyone told, look, he's really the boss, you just go through him. Now, there's no way if they had made an Israeli citizen and the head of the Israeli central bank the head of the Fed, you would have had an uproar. So what you do is you basically put someone like Yellen in as number one, slip this guy in as number two, but he's, you know, and everybody gets a wink, nod, and said, look, he's really the power behind the throne. Now, in that role, that's the kind of person who doesn't cut and run unless things are really serious. And frankly, you know, in theory, it's possible he could have a health problem or someone in his family, his wife, could have a health problem. That's possible. But it looks to me like he's getting out in enough time to make sure if things really implode, you know, the lynch mob's not going to come for him. If I were him, if I was anybody in any of these positions, I would really be afraid of a lynch mob. So this is another sign of cut and run, just like the Lockheed spitting out the different divisions with the, you know, sort of the what is probably the liability for the missing money into another contractor after $6.5 trillion went missing in 2015. I think they just emptied out as much as they could take and then spun it out. So, again, more signals and signs of cutting and running. Now, what does this mean to you and me? Who knows? Who knows how bad things could be? But we now have a situation where the president can appoint four positions at the Fed and really remake the Fed in, you know, whatever direction he wants to. At the same time, it's imperative now that you and I start to network and get to know our state and local leaders if we don't know them already. It is imperative to stop a constitutional convention. If you get a balanced budget amendment and try and balance the budget with the, not counting the $18 trillion of missing money or the money that was taken out on the bailouts, you know, you're putting a gun at your own head. And that's the best thing that can happen. The other thing that could happen at a constitutional convention is they basically tear up the Constitution. We're making the second quarter wrap-ups available at our printing cost so that you can buy them cheaply and spread them around. And I would really hope you send it to any state legislatures in your state who are grappling with the constitutional convention issue. And remember, the Edwin Vieira interview is available for free on the dangers of a constitutional convention, and the interviews with McKinney are also available for free. We've made that whole package available, so it's very easy for you to use it in communicating with people and giving people ideas. There's no doubt in my mind the top guys want to tear up the Constitution. I get so many questions these days as things get sort of more and more unnerving. Should I have my money in this versus that versus this versus that? It doesn't matter what assets you have, any of your holdings in, if the Constitution is shredded, because then they won't be your assets. I mean, we're looking at a situation where people are going to want to essentially strip you of your assets or set you up in a series of inhuman conditions where you have to say, you have to do everything they say you do. And if that's the case, I mean, if you're basically dying from vaccine injuries and GMO foods, it doesn't matter what your assets are. So things are much more, you know, you can't solve this problem and you can't protect your net worth by moving your assets around on the deck chair of the Titanic. You're going to have to either turn the Titanic right or you're going to have to build an ark. So anyway, it's a longer and complicated subject we've addressed many times on the Solaria Report. Money and markets. Market review. As I said, the U.S. dollar is now down around 91.30. And if it breaks that 92 line, you know, if it bounces back up, it's okay, but it's clearly in a downward trend. So I think there's a good chance we're going to get a break. And as I said, it's a very important and serious break if it stays broken through that line, if it really breaks down through that line. And again, what that means is imports are going to go up in price. So that's very inflationary on your expense budget. And at the same time, there's going to be more pressure to export food, export oil and gas. So those prices are going to go up as well. Fixed income, the long treasury is doing very well as a result of this breakdown. And so the TLT, the long-term ETF, government ETF, is trading at 10.4. The intermediate at 5%, the bond aggregate at 4%, chunk at 5.52%. Equities, the S&P now up 11.5% for the year. Home builders even doing better, certainly now with Houston and the potential for Florida, 13.6 for the year. The Europe outperforming equities this year significantly. The VGK European ETF now up 22.25% for the year. Germany up 21.77%. It was interesting. Blankfein also announced when he was over at the Frankfurt conference that they're planning on increasing their personnel there by three or four hundred percent increase, which will tell you which direction the flow is flowing in. You know, it's the Silk Road, and Germany's smack there between the rest of Europe and Asia and the Silk Road. You know, the neocons keep pushing this line that Europe is a catastrophe and falling apart. If Goldman Sachs is increasing their personnel in the Frankfurt office 300 to 400%, Europe's not going to fall apart. Developed markets minus North America are up 18.8%. China now up 27.24%. That very much reflects the falling dollar. Small cap China, 28.6%, and emerging markets still the star at almost 30%, 29.68%. Commodities now down 5% for the year. Gold flying back up, thank you, falling dollar, at 16.9%, and silver at 13.17%. Oil still in the doghouse, down 18%. So, of course, everybody's big question is, are we watching weather warfare unfold? In my opinion, yes. I think the U.S. government and the breakaway civilization both have technology to engineer influence weather patterns, including storms, whether it's hurricanes or tornadoes. And so I think they have the technology to weaken or strengthen hurricanes and steer them as well. Doesn't mean they have complete control. My guess is it's an art, not a science. But certainly what I think we're watching has definitely been contributed to the strength of the storm, and exactly where it hits is very much influenced by weather warfare. And what's interesting to me is, you know, when I first tried to warn people that weather warfare existed, it was hard for them to get their minds around and fathom, but the more they watch the patterns and how it's working, they realize, you know, this can't be natural. There's something very strange here. Anyway, what to watch for in situations like this? First of all, when the federal government announces an emergency, you turn the spigots on. So you, in things like the mortgage insurance funds and other programs in the government, suddenly you have the power in disasters to spend in extraordinary ways on very little transparency with very little accountability. So they turn the spigot on, and there's been a big appropriation in the debt ceiling increase for the hurricane areas. Big questions in my mind about where that money's really going and who's going to control it. As I said, not just very little transparency, but very little accountability. Expect to see major gentrification in the poor neighborhoods, particularly all the folks who moved over from Katrina to Houston. Expect them to be cleared out. We're going to see consolidation of land ownership. Some people are going to make a lot of money on this. Note, I posted and tweeted out, I think it was early this week or late last week, the land report of the 100 largest U.S. landowners shows that since 2008, they have almost doubled the acreage that they own. So you can really see from watching the list, the smart money is buying land. They're not... You know, I don't know all their holdings, but I think it's likely they're not buying a lot of cryptocurrencies. I think they're buying land. Watch exercises of warrants. We have the sheriffs saying in some of the affected counties that they're going to be at the hurricane shelters with checking everybody for whether they're outstanding warrants. Expect an effort to do gun control. We saw in Puerto Rico some of the islands. The authorities saying that they were going to confiscate guns. So you're going to have a real social engineering and economic engineering incentive in here. Now, as I said, we were watching real indications of deflation, interestingly enough. What will come with this, we expect the auto industry, which was starting to really slow down, $1 to $2 million of demand for new autos. So those are not all going to be brand new, but that's going to create a significant demand for autos. Plus, of course, home building and repair, all of that very deflation fighting. This is very bad news for the insurance industry that's affected, especially since they're struggling with low interest rates. So I'm going to be looking to see what it does to the insurance industry. Most people do not have flood insurance, and those who do are insuring with the federal government. So it'll be very interesting to see what those ramifications are. And that's, as I said, that's going to hit the poor much, much harder, and working people much, much harder. I see this as all as the acceleration of the remaking of America, and there's a danger for all of us that this kind of disaster capitalism is coming to many, many areas. And as I said before, it's one of the reasons I like to live and travel light. So keep that in mind. When I settled the litigation, I purposefully lived in a very remote, or bought a house in a very remote, low-cost area, and basically organized everything very, very modestly and never made an effort to buy back all the furniture and paintings and everything I sold, because I basically live in a system where I don't trust the system to respect my property rights. Doesn't mean I'm not going to fight like crazy to protect them for you and me, but I've learned my lesson in terms of trusting the system. Please make sure that you pay attention to identity theft. We have a great interview with Bob Sullivan in the Solari Report on identity theft. He has a great book. It's a little bit out of date, but he brings it down to a few common sense things you really need to do. The reason I wanted to bring this up is twofold. Once when I was in Europe, and this happens a lot when I'm traveling abroad, I started to get fraudulent charges on my bank debit card, and lickety split, I have a great bank. They called me. They emailed me right away. They caught it right away. They had a funny feeling that I wasn't spending $400 at Paris Disneyland, which is where the charge popped up. So they caught it right away and shut it down right away. But it's because I have a very diligent bank. I have a very good relationship with them, And we watch, my bookkeeper watches the cards like crazy. So we check them every day. And even if it's a 10 cent, you know, we get a charge for 10 cents that's inappropriate. You know, we're on the phone to the powers that be at the credit card company. Now, why am I mentioning this? So one reason was the bank, that experience. And when times get tough and the economy goes down, this kind of skimming gets more and more and more prevalent. The reason I wanted to bring it up was Equifax has discovered a massive data breach. They discovered it on July 29th. We're just hearing about it. And between the time that it happened and now when we're hearing about it, you had three top executives at Equifax selling almost $2 million worth of personal stock. And if you look at the whole story, it's deeply ugly. One of the guys selling stock was the chief financial officer. So, and the fact that Equifax sat on this from July 29th until today means that, you know, all of that data potentially has been on the dark net being sold. So it's 143 million Americans, our social security numbers, everything. And it's particularly galling because there are many of us who would love nothing to do with those agencies. But basically, the whole system is now forcing us. I'm a person, I have my credit frozen. But the reality is if the companies I have it frozen with are basically allowing it to slip out the back door, you know, potentially there's a mess. Anyway, so I would definitely take the time, if you don't understand identity theft and how to protect yourself, I really recommend that interview with Bob Sullivan, or, you know, there are many resources on the web. Please watch your financial statements and accounts very carefully during this period, because I expect the problems to go up steadily. Okay, I wanted to mention a couple of commentaries up on the web. Who's your hero? I took the discussion of Charlottesville for Money and Market on August 17th, which I thought was very important, and put it up. It's available to the public, and I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to that, I would listen to it and feel free to send it around, because I think it's extremely important. There's a real beatdown on white men, and it's all part of the beatdown and the divide and conquer of stopping the 5 to 10% of the population who will take effective action, and we want to make sure we see that game, we don't fall into the trap. There's a great new column from Food for the Soul. This is a new column we've been doing. It's been going, we're doing two a month. It's we've been going for 3 months now. And it's a review of Wolf Warrior 2, which is a new Chinese action movie that in the first month grossed almost $800 million. And you don't hear a lot about it, but it's taking the Chinese market by storm. And the interview is very, very interesting to sort of clue you into what's happening in the movie industry in China, and the Asian markets, and sort of what it means to the whole industry. It's fascinating. So Food for the Soul, this is a column. I love it. I think it's fabulous. It's twice a month, and it's really the cultural beat. So movies, theater, art, anything under the rubric of culture. And of course, we have the DOD and HUD missing money. We've updated it with a new report from Dr. Mark Skidmore. I'm a co-author with him, and he is going to be on the Saleri Report this month. We're coming on and talking about why this is so very important, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate his help. Anyway, so the DOD and HUD missing money is now updated again with a report, and his team of graduate students continue to plow. They're now plowing through the third agency. We'll see what we come up with. Our hero this week is Galileo, our old friend Galileo from the 16th century. Let me tell you why I wanted to sort of annoy Galileo, and it's because of his appreciation of mathematics. He wrote, The universe cannot be read until we have learned the language and become familiar with the characters in which it is written. It is written in mathematical language, and the letters are triangles, circles, and other geometric figures, without which means it is humanly impossible to comprehend a single word. Without these, one is wandering about in a dark labyrinth. Well, one of the Microsoft board members put up the money to take a look at health statistics for King County. Apparently, he said, well, you know, the Gates Foundation is looking at global health statistics, and we're using an average for King County, but we need to dig deeper and really see what's going on in our home base. What it shows is that there is a gap in life expectancy of 14 to 18 years between the wealthy neighborhoods and the not wealthy neighborhoods. So being wealthy in this environment adds 14 to 18 years to your life. Can you imagine? Chris Murray, the director of University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which led the analysis, said about this, quote, "That's the spread between parts of West Africa and Europe in terms of life expectancy. It's just enormous." Well, I have news for everybody involved. If you had overlaid Community Wizard, a very detailed and sophisticated Community Wizard that showed the cash flows of federal government resources, what you could see is this is the result primarily of dirty politics and higher rates of subsidy. And that's a strong opinion, but that's my opinion. And I love it that these numbers have come out, because they start to put real meat on the bone of the productivity backlash that got Trump elected. And it's just unfathomable to me that you have this whole establishment world of people who can't fathom, number one, that this is the case, and number two, it's a direct result of their corruption. Anyway, I have a big sort of screensaver on my desktop that says, stay calm and do the math. Math blindness in this country is, in fact, has got us wandering around in a dark labyrinth, just as Galileo said so. It's ensuring that we are having a dumbed-down dialogue, and as a result, we're literally descending into mind-controlled madness. So I strongly recommend to you mathematics, whether it's the math of time or money, because it's simply a way to see the world as it is. I just this morning did a great interview with Chuck Marone of Strongtowns. It's going to be on the Strongtowns website, and I'll post it at Solari when he puts it up. But that's exactly what we're talking about, sort of the mathematics of the flow of energy in places. And it's what he and Strongtowns are doing is just absolutely great. So I hope you'll take advantage and listen when I put that up. Let's go to the movies. Unbelievable documentary this week. I finally had the opportunity to see Oliver Stone's Putin Interviews. It's 4 hours of interviews with Vladimir Putin conducted between 2015 and 2017. And it's simply a remarkable piece of work. I have a much better feel for how Putin has done such a good job of rebuilding the Russian economy. If you're going to build an economy, you need discipline, you need commitment to performance, and most of all, you need law. And this is a remarkable production. It was a big risk on Stone's part to do it. Right now, I assure you, it's the leading contender for documentary of the year in our next annual wrap up. And you know, if you have other ideas, please let us know your recommendations. We always look for recommendations for Hero of the Year, Documentary of the Year, and Movie of the Year. So let me know. But 4 hours is a lot of watch time to watch a documentary, but it was absolutely fascinating. You know, as I watched it, I wish that I could have the reliable folks in the U.S. intelligence agency giving me their 2 cents on it, you know, because clearly Putin's a pretty crafty character, so I'm sure we weren't getting the whole story. But so I'd love to hear the other side of the argument, particularly if you, given what's going on in the consulate wars, which I talk about with Saker in our interview that we published tonight. Anyway, but if you know, if you like documentaries, if you're interested in global politics, it's an absolutely, I think, must watch. I bought it a long time ago, but it turned out I was trying to stream it, and I couldn't stream it from Europe because of the licensing issues, which was very frustrating. But anyway, there it is. Putin, the Putin interviews by Oliver Stone. Great contribution from a movie producer who's contributed a great deal. Our interview is with the Saker. It was very timely because the geopolitical news is explosive. I sent him a list of what I wanted to cover. He smartly cut it in half just because if you look at what's going on, there was so much to talk about. And we cover everything from the Russian and European response to the latest sanctions, the big Russian military exercises happening this month, Trump's Afghanistan announcement, the consulate wars, on and on and on, Syria, an Iraq update, and, of course, North Korea. So a great interview with the Saker, and I'm always
okay,
interested.
Ask Catherine.
We got
say.
A bunch of stuff. Again, thanks for the links. You're sending us lots of great links, and we really appreciate it. We're trying to get many of them up. Dear Catherine, we hope you had a wonderful vacation. So much has been going on, and we're greatly looking forward to your money in markets this week to help synthesize the news. As we listen to your Solari reports, and especially this past week, few days, while we listen to the Inconvenient Lies series, let me just interrupt. That is Ed Griffith's new conference that he just had, and he's made all of the videos available online, which is an incredible contribution, and there are many great presentations. We are wondering if you could kindly describe what you mean when you discuss the potential for slavery in the future. What would be a less dramatic slavery situation? What would it look like? What about the worst-case scenarios? Please do a search for Aaron Rousseau and look at Aaron Rousseau's interview with Alex Jones. It's on the Solari website. If you just put in Aaron Rousseau's name on the search box, search, you'll pull it up. And what he describes is the Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers explaining to him that they were planning on chipping everybody and then, you know, using digital cash. And if people didn't behave, they could turn off their money. Now, I assure you that that chip will also, or related chips, will deliver mind control. So you're talking about it being a mind control slave who is mentally and physically controlled. And if you don't do exactly what you're told, they'll turn off your money and you'll starve to death. So if you've ever read the Bible and read the Mark of the Beast, it's there. You have no rights. You have no property rights. You're a slave. Then you continue. We're just trying to understand what you're seeing or thinking could be possible so we can best be prepared. Thank you again for all you and your marvelous Solari team continue to do. All the best. The third quarter wrap-up, we were going to do local power, how we lost it, how to get it back. And what I realized is that there wasn't a clear understanding of how control is affected. And if you don't have that understanding, you can't get your power back. So we've changed the theme topic to Control 101, and we're going to be talking about all the technologies that they use to think of it as sneaking up on slavery. So we'll get a lot more into those technologies in Control 101. Catherine, I love you, but why not read Ether, God, and Devil to learn about evil? This brilliant, controversial, amazing scientist explains this issue. He is the only scientist psychiatrist I trust for 40 years in my personal experience in his therapy. That Ether, God, and Devil is Wilhelm Reich, I believe. Anyway, I've ordered it. It's going to come in shortly. It's in. It'll go into a pile of over 200 books in the must-read category. I'm a huge Wilhelm Reich fan, and I just haven't read that one. So I love Reich, and if that's who you meant, I agree with you. He's terrific. Catherine, I live on a small island on the west coast of British Columbia. Oh, that's one of my favorite places in the world. There are a few A and B list Hollywood actors that have getaways here, and I recently had the opportunity to formally hang out with one of them who visited me on my ranch. While I was showing him a project that we were working on, I was dumbfounded when right out of the blue he started to parrot the Russians control the White House narrative. I was even more surprised that this otherwise very intelligent and calm entertainer almost seemed to be randomly triggered to start regurgitating lines in a play as he mentioned how concerned he was about the stolen election, what it meant to all of us. Now this entertainer is someone who has interviewed both Obama and Hillary, so there's no question where his political views lie. But is it possible that these very influential people could be mind controlled in a way that causes them to randomly assert their influence when they are somehow triggered by an outside force? Absolutely. Of course. But there are three likely possibilities, and I don't know which one would apply in your situation. One is they have the fear of God put into them, and they know on certain issues they've got to play ball or they're going to be in real trouble. And literally that fear can cause them to spout triggered lines in a way that makes them sound mind-controlled. And fear is a kind of mind-control. The second thing is they're chipped. You'd be amazed who's been, you know, sort of involuntarily chipped and doesn't even know it. But if you want to watch that dreadful movie, The Kingsman, but it's very instructive. You know, you have all these world leaders who have chips in their head, and if they don't do what they're told, literally the chip can explode and there goes their head. But the chip is delivering mind control and they're very much spouting a line. They're mind controlled. But it's not something you would see or notice in most things. It's only at critical moments or when they're expected to deliver an important line. The other possibility is it's more serious brainwashing of the Manchurian candidate kind, although from my understanding, the technologies are getting much more efficient and faster. You don't have to have the kind of intense, invasive fiddling that you do with the if you watch the Manchurian Candidate movies. But yeah, it could even be more intense mind control. And if you look at how the mind control is sometimes created, they literally have no recollection of that period or what happened. If you watch Telefon or the Bourne Identity movies, another great one with Glenda Jackson. If you go in and look at our Salieri Report Mind Control, we did a Mind Control Salieri Report where I just talked through, but I listed out some of the best books or movies. If you're interested, one of the great books is Serious Don't Tell by Carla Emery. I always recommend that for a history of mind control. In the third category, the more serious brainwashing, you're usually looking at what's called criminal hypnosis. And Carla Emery goes into the history of it. It's very ancient and old. Anyway, any one of those three are possible. I have no idea which it is. So you continue and say, do you have an elevator version of a comeback that can be used to simply plant the seeds of an awakening onto someone who is seemingly so blind to the corruption and real power behind the long-term control of the entire political system, no matter which party is in place? Here's what I do. In a situation like the one you're describing, I avoid the trigger issues. You're basically looking at someone who they literally could risk their job or their life, and I don't like to, I like to not confront people on something where they have survival issues. So I avoid the trigger issues. What I do is I use math and highly documented facts. And I bring up an issue with, whether it's the missing money or whether it's the black budget or the hidden system of finance or other, I'll never forget dealing with one person exactly like you're describing and describing the narcotics trafficking. And they said, well, that the American government would never do that. So I said, okay, well, according to the Department of Justice, we launder $500 billion to $1 trillion a year in all illegal money. Are you telling me that all of that's done by black teenagers, or do you think the big banks are involved? And then I said, well, why was the head of the New York Stock Exchange down meeting with the FARC commanders? And it was really funny. He said that never happened. So I pulled out a Reuters press release, a Reuters covering the press release of the head of the New York Stock Exchange making a cold call on the FARC commanders. We had a picture of the FARC commander with a machine gun over his shoulder. hugging the head of the New York Stock Exchange. You know, and so that is what I would describe as a well-documented fact. And it, of course, it came with the math of money. And so those seem to always work. It's always much better if I stay in a state of amusement. If it's important to you that the other people, the other person believe you, that's going to make you less effective in communicating. You have to be sufficiently confident in your knowledge and your facts so that you can literally not care what they think. You're just trying to be useful. And again, I always offer them a safe action plan. So, you know, I like to give people actionable intelligence, but I like to make sure that I offer them a way of using that intelligence, which is going to be safe for them. Then one of the things I find is folks like that are open to really excellent documentaries or books that open minds. So David Talbot's Devil's Chessboard is a great way to open somebody's mind on how the system really works. Dolan's new False Flag series is the same on Gaia TV. It's really terrific. Anyway, but it has to be something that's personally energizing for them. Some people love reading books. Some people love watching documentaries. So you have to find a pathway for them, which is energizing. One of the reasons I do Let's Go to the Movies is I found so many people will watch a movie or a documentary, whereas they won't, you know, they won't dive in and look at the hard, cold data of the truth. Anyway, you signed this a long time Solaris subscriber from the Northern Sea. So hope that's helpful. Send more questions if you want to dig down deeper in that. Hi, Catherine. I wanted to recommend a guest for you to interview, John Bogle, founder of Vanguard and prolific author. I think he'd be an amazing guest if you could score him. Thanks. Actually, that's a great idea. I would love to interview him. He just made some new comments on index funds that I thought were absolutely fascinating. So I would love to get him on. I have a very high opinion of him. Hi, Catherine. This author is a very important read. Joan Williams, White Working Class, Overcoming Class Cluelessness. Quick and important read. I thought this might be of high interest to your subscribers. Interestingly enough, I saw your note on this and just happened to download it on my ebook reader before my plane took off from Reykjavik. And so I read it on the plane, and I'll do a review sometime later this month on the blog. I'm not going to recommend it. It makes some very good points, but it's seriously avoiding the real political, economic, and financial truth of the situation. And the Seattle study is a great example of showing you what the real serious truth of the situation is. You know, so I would say that this particular book is a real limited modified hangout. It's trying to make nice of something that's not nice. It's evil. And it's ducking. The author is either ducking or really doesn't understand the real issues. You know, they're trying to describe it as a cultural phenomena, and they're not looking at the money, and they're not looking at how dirty the government money is in all of this. It's back to what I'm always harping on about the negative return on investments. So then, you know, basically people's life expectancy are being destroyed by negative return on investment on government money. And it's plumping up and subsidizing the rich in massive, massive ways. Okay, last subject, Health Freedom News. I greatly enjoyed your interview with Scott Tips and wanted to purchase a couple issues of Health Freedom News to check it out. I tried calling without success. We've arranged for several to be sent to you, so please let me know if you don't receive them, because we've been assured that they're on their way. Greetings. If you've not interviewed Saker yet, I have a question for him. Did he notice any Russian news coverage about the Ark of Gabriel being found and that Putin had it shipped to Antarctica? Sorry, I interviewed him before I saw this, so I have no idea. Dear Catherine and Solari team, I apologize for my inability to synthesize and be succinct about this. I hope I'm making sense and that it matters. There are no historic statues being torn down in Indonesia or the Amazon, but historic memory is being lost on a grand scale. Unseen by us, we've warmed, and it's called climate change, but there is another way to look at it. So then she goes into basically a combination of disaster capitalism and really frightening practices by corporations, and sends a lot of links. So I agree. There's no doubt that our management of resources on planet Earth is far from optimal. And I think part of that is, you know, it goes back to the secret governance system and what they're doing and why they're doing it. I listened to Cynthia McKinney interview. Please visit website teamlaw.net. Left-hand column, read Historical Outline in American History. We must understand what happened to know what we the people must do. Here's the reality of this, because you can get into some very complex legal rabbit holes. The reality is that 50% or more of the American people said, you know something, we're going to escrow our taxes until you guys obey the Constitution. You know, problem solved. So we don't have to get into legal, highly complex legal ease to realize there's a very difficult problem. And if you look at the Constitution, the provisions related to money are very, very clear. Dear Catherine, is Jim Rickards legit? Rickards has some good financial experience based on what I've seen so far. I don't trust him or his material. There are occasional nuggets, but it's tricky to sort out the useful information, what from, in my opinion, is disinformation. And so I never or very rarely post anything. I don't think I've ever posted anything from him. So he's not someone I would recommend. But as I said, if you can sort the wheat from the chaff, there are nuggets. So, okay. Catherine, next time you talk to Saker Cynthia McKinney, I will rephrase an earlier question which should have been asked 2 years ago. I'm attaching an article dated June 26, 2013, written in Europe by William Pfaff, someone I followed since the 80s until he died a few years ago. I wrote to him about a previous article and asked a question that I think is still relevant today. The question is addressed at the second last three paragraphs. The attachment didn't come through, so could you send it again? P.S. I may be one of the few that has avoided the echo chamber in the last 3 to 4 elections. Most of your dates about politicians feel like false debates, and that politicians seem to be little more than facilitators to decision makers we know nothing about. This comes down to today's news at the local level, where the mayor is suggesting he will award Wells Fargo a 4-year contract to handle the city finances. Given what Wells Fargo just admitted to, that is breathtaking. My congressman is Ben Lujan, who is famous for his meeting with financial elites before the primaries. Senators Udall and Einrich are devoted neocons. Local media mimics the echo chamber. I think my donation of Solari to the city of Santa Fe will be wasted for obvious reasons. You never know. You never know. I mean, this is trench warfare. So one of the reasons I talk to politicians, even though obviously they're not in control, is it's trench warfare. And, you know, it matters. You know, sometimes it matters whether we have, you know, green or blue. And it may only be incrementalism, but every inch counts. Hi, Catherine. What advice would you give someone in their 40s who desires to change to a new career where such person's only job experience has been in the bureaucracy of federal government red tape, but who now desires to work in an environment that champions true capitalism, such as shared value? Capitalism is described by Harvard's Dr. Michael Porter and conscious capitalism by Whole Foods founder John McKay. Assume this individual has no network connections to folks who work in the private sector and only has friends that work for the federal government like they do. It's real simple. I would keep your government, keep working on your government job. It'd be great if you could take it down to 4 days a week and find programs at university or tech centers where nights, weekends, you can start taking courses related to entrepreneurship or leadership, things that will get you in a flow with exactly the kind of people you want to get to know and dealing with the sort of information and knowledge that you want to deal with. So I would start hanging and acting with people in the space you want to be in. Another place you can do it is you can also do it online. Check and see if your agency or your situation is such that you can, the government will fund you taking a sabbatical in a leadership or some kind of graduate program, sometimes they would do that. So I would create a transition period where you're developing your networks and your knowledge in those areas, and doing it within some kind of institutional setting, and see what doors open for you. You absolutely can do it. I mean, this is something that can be done, but it just takes network and an investment in a transition. Catherine, I've noticed that Ben Carson at HUD is getting negative coverage, Common Insights. I really don't know what's been going on at HUD, other than we've been digging in and finding more missing money at HUD. So Carson has a real mess on his hands, because if you're going to turn HUD around, you really have to have cooperation across a lot of different agencies. And if you look at what's happening in the administration, teamwork does not look like it's happening. And I think you need superb teamwork to get anything changed at HUD. So he's got his hands full. Hi, Catherine. I'd like to get your take on the USS John S. McCain and a number of U.S. Navy vessels that have had accidents in what seems to be a relatively short period of time. We've had 4 very serious accidents this year. I believe that these are not accidents, actually. I believe they're evidence of a hot war in the Asian seas, likely to be China. I think it's very, very serious. And I'm going to talk with Dr. Farrell a lot about it, because I think it's one of the most important developments in 2017. So when we do news trends and stories, I'm going to want to chew through this. I believe that what is happening in those seas and what is happening to the Navy is an important contributor to the falling dollar. So this is devastating for America's ability to back and manage the reserve currency. So very, very important. I'm glad you picked up on it. We've been posting a lot of links on it, in fact. So let's see. Did you have another comment about this? You wrote the Perna article in CNN, the accidents have been with a fishing boat, a container ship, an oil tanker, and sand. I'm assuming this is a lot based on the Navy's reaction. The U.S. Navy used the most recent accident as a reason for an operational pause. Should that make us pause? Yes, it should. It seems very strange. That's because I think we're looking at electronic warfare and warfare. We're looking at a hot war hidden behind what's supposed to be commercial vessels. Hi, Catherine. I recently subscribed to your report. I learned of the Salieri report 2 years ago through a friend that had a subscription, and he let me listen to the report or on discussion about student loans. I wanted to know if you could refer me to an attorney who has had success with getting loans discharged. I don't know any attorneys in this area. I really don't, so I can't recommend anyone, and I'm sorry for that. Did you ever go to Trinity Churchyard to see Alexander Hamilton's resting location? Many revolutionary people buried there. Yes, Trinity Church is right next to very near my office when I was on Wall Street. Joseph Farrell had some very unkind things to say about Abraham Lincoln in the second quarter wrap-up part 1. Can you tell me what this is about? I've read nothing that agrees with him. I'll ask him on the second quarter report when we do news trends and stories. That's going to be a doozy. I'm sorry, third quarter wrap-up. What am I saying? Third quarter wrap-up. This year is going fast. Closing. September 14th, next week, we have just remarkable series of interviews that Harry Blaser did with one of the leading, the real leaders of biodynamic farming in the United States, Christopher Mann. He and his wife founded the Michael Fields Institute in Wisconsin, and an extraordinary life. And Mann is an anthroposophist, and so he talks about Steiner, he talks about biodynamic farming, and just a remarkable set of interviews. We're posting all 4 of the audios. One didn't come out well, so 4 transcripts, 3 audios, and just a remarkable achievement by Harry Blaser. Then September 21st, Bush, Cheney, and 9/11 with David Ray Griffin. Griffin has written a new book. I'm halfway through it. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to, I'm going to finish it this weekend. I can't wait to finish it. But just a remarkable, one of the most remarkable people covering the neocons and what happened on 9/11. And then September 29th, we'll be doing The Missing Money, $18 trillion in Undocumentable Adjustments and Counting with Dr. Mark Skidmore. I think I really want to make sure the Solari Report subscribers get to meet and know Dr. Skidmore, because he and his graduate students are doing great things. Anyway, that's it for tonight. The news is explosive. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week. And as I said, this my warning about what the Fisher cut and run may mean is that things are, we're now moving into a period of real trouble. So this is batten down the hatches time. Everybody's situation is different. What that means to you is unique. So I don't want to pretend to tell you. And there's tons of material in the Solari Report about how to prepare for difficult times. So I'm not going to repeat this here, but please take this as a serious warning. You need to think seriously about what happens if you get explosive increases in your expenses, or you get a much more chaotic environment. Of course, one of the things you need to make sure is that the Constitution is in place to protect you. So that's it for this week. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you definitely need to start one. We need a lot of conspiracies going to protect ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.